Our sermon hymn will be number 422, No, Not One. I invite you to rise as you're able.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the meaning of that song. We thank you that heaven is open to all who come to Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he would refuse no one, not one. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your word of instruction. And we pray for this time of teaching this morning, that your spirit would be both evident in the words that I offer and in the thoughts that people receive. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Kindness and gentleness. Kindness guides the way in which Christians are to love everyone. Kindness guides the way in which Christians are to love everyone. I have some thoughts or some words, some quotes to share with you about kindness. The nicest thing we can do for a Heavenly Father is to be kind to one of his children. That is St. Teresa of Avila. From Mother Teresa, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. From William Penn, English Quaker and founder of Pennsylvania, I expect to pass through life but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show, or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now, and not defer nor neglect, as I shall not pass this way again. Someone else added to that, each day has one thing in common with the next. Both offer opportunities to show kindness, and when missed, those opportunities leave you with unwanted regrets. From a young boy's perspective, kindness. Learn to be happy when others succeed. Be like the little boy who returned from auditioning for the school play and said, "Mommy, I got a brilliant part. I've been chosen to sit in the audience and cheer for my friends." That's good. To make a real difference in the life of another has a ripple effect. Your helping or guiding someone else will touch the lives of many by virtue of having touched one. It is contagious. Kindness. Kindness guides the way in which Christians are to love everyone. Who are those everyone's? Family, friends, enemies, those people that you do not like. Kindness guides the way in which Christians are to love everyone. From Matthew 5:43, the words of Jesus, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And the aspect of perfection is to love both your neighbor and your enemies. In the words of Matthew 25:35-36, when Jesus says in the parable of the sheep and the goats, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." The examples of everyone that we are to show kindness to. Kindness describes the manner and how God wants us to see the goodness in others. To see the goodness in others. A brief lesson from a mission trip with LaPorte County Habitat for Humanity. Some of the group arrived there Monday morning. I arrived there Monday afternoon. I left Thursday night. Some people came up on Tuesday. And then part of the group finished up on Friday. And we're up there to work, but we're up there to show kindness to someone that we've never met before. The homeowner, the partner, her name was Jasmine. And day by day, week by week, this lady has a bunch of strange people come on the site. And she wanted to be working. She was there three or four of the days. And she's run a nail gun before. I said, "I've done that." So I was kind. I let her have my nail gun. And I think she sunk three nails, and she said, "That's enough." A little different, heavier nail gun than maybe what she had used before. And she was kind enough to say, "No, I don't want to do that." So she went back to hammering by hand. But the kindness of, we don't know her, and we're just showing her kindness and goodness. Each day went by, you got to talk with her a little bit more. Kindness describes the manner and how God wants us to see the goodness in others. Gentleness is an aspect of our inner selves. It's a moral strength in which we refuse to be impressed with a sense of our own importance. That fruit of the Spirit also comes back to that sense of humility. So we have kindness and we have gentleness, two fruit that Jesus calls us to produce in our daily lives. From 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a writing of the Apostle Paul, the Christian missionary, a co-author of 13 letters in the New Testament. Who did Paul co-author the 13 letters with? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit interacted with Paul's heart and mind, and we have those 13 letters. And here in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul offers a little bit about his minister's resume and some of the qualifications he had in order to teach about kindness and gentleness. Paul describes himself as a fellow worker of God's. It's very important for us to understand that God did not need Paul, but God wanted Paul to be a co-worker, a partner in the ministry. And just as God wanted Paul to be involved in the ministry, God wants all of us, all Christians, to be a fellow worker, a co-laborer of Christ. And so as followers of God today, Christians are fellow workers of God's. I know over the times, the years talking with people, people can be in a struggle. People can be in a serious hardship, and they're praying, and they want God to do something, and they're wondering where God is or why doesn't God do something for us. In reality, in kindness and gentleness, and what Paul is writing in this passage, our question should always be, what are we able to do for God? Not what God can do for us, but what service, what kindness, what gentleness can we offer to God? And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 happens to be one of my blessed passages because it talks about workers. Workers. Workers are to be active. They're to be involved. They're to be engaged in working for the Lord. I encountered a new worker this week. I've known him for a while, but I saw him in a different light. And that's one of the problems that people have when they go on a mission trip with the pastor. They might see the pastor in a different light. And Gloria warned somebody about that. And so I had to be behaving. But Joshua Reeb, I think now he's classified as a senior. I've never been on a trip with Joshua before. Wasn't sure exactly what all he could do or not do. But I was stunned and amazed and pleased by the worker that Joshua Reeb is. And I told that to his parents as they sat out there at 8 o'clock service. Joshua is off at Little Eden Camp today, so he continues to be active. Joshua carried every sheet of OSB that we put on that house. OSB is a 4-foot by 8-foot piece of plywood. I have a special little handle carrier that my son gave me, and Joshua would pick up each piece, and he'd bring it to the actual home site that we were building. And I love the fact that he worked ahead of time. So he brought 4 sheets for one wall. And how many do you need for this one, Pastor Eric? And he'd bring the next 3 or the next 4, and he just kept working. And then he found a new tool. It's called an impact driver. It just sits in the palm of your hand, and it just drives nails. And he put most of the nails in on some of the hurricane clips on the trusses. He was a worker. He was involved in all doing it for the work of the Lord. So another example. And then Paul begins to talk about endurance. Some versions of the Bible will talk about patience. Here in the NIV, it's endurance. It's great endurance. It's the aspect of being able to bear up or to work through or to overcome the struggles that we encounter in life. And Paul kind of sets aside or describes 3 different types of struggles that we have to endure through. First, he writes, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. Troubles, hardships, and distresses. That represents the general struggles of life. Life just happens. I think I talked about that a little bit last Sunday. Life just happens. It's not about what we deserve and not deserve. Things just happen out of anybody's control. General struggles of life. And then Paul writes about in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, where Paul had been imprisoned many times and he had witnessed some of those beatings. Well, those represent the sufferings inflicted upon us by others. Sadly, there are enemies out there. There are people out there that might want to hurt us or have hurt us. I know when I was back in middle school, I was accosted by somebody bearing a knife. That was before the days of I was a wrestler, and so I didn't try to save my sister from that. He just finally walked away, and we were safe. But sufferings inflicted by others. And then Paul writes, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hungers. And those can represent self-inflicted hardships. If I'm hungry and I eat too much at night, I'm going to have a sleepless night. My wife keeps warning me about that. And finally, the last couple of months, it's making sense. It's coming. But sometimes we can work too hard and we can inflict harm upon ourselves. But we have to have endurance through the general struggles of life, through sufferings inflicted by others, and through self-inflicted hardships. And we have resources. Paul gives us tools. He was using these tools to endure through the hardships. He writes, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness. We can endure through the kindness that we have through Scripture. And then he writes, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love. That masking tape representing kindness, love, hug around our heart, that's from the Holy Spirit. In truthful speech and in the power of God, lies can always get you in trouble. But if we are truthful in our speech, if we are truthful in using the Word of God, we will be able to endure, we will be able to overcome and face those hardships. And then Paul writes an interesting phrase, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Weapons, that always kind of thinks about danger, but there are good weapons. Weapons of righteousness for Christians to have in the right and in the left, so we are ready at all times to respond to questions or to help overcome through hardships. And so he's given us these weapons of purity and understanding, patience and kindness, the Holy Spirit, love, truthful speech, and the power of God. And then in the remaining verses in the passage that we've read, there are contrasts. There are contrasts. We have through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown. Those contrasts are what Paul experienced, and those are contrasts that we would experience. It's what the world thought of Paul and what God thought of Paul. What does the world think about us? What do we know that God thinks about us through our understanding of Scripture? Kind of summed up in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I visited one of our senior citizens going through rehab or surgery, then rehab recently, and she is not focused in on the day or the next day. She is looking towards that day when she's no longer in the rehab center and she's back home. She's not focused on what she can see. She is hoping for what is unseen to come. So enduring through kindness. Now we look at 1 Peter 3 quickly to think about gentleness. And Peter begins talking about harmony, living in harmony. Is there someone in the room, someone in the sanctuary, that has never had any discord with another person, but you have been blessed to always have harmonious relationships? Huh. So we know the challenge, but Peter instructs us to live in harmony. And he does that by talking about being of one mind. Being of one mind. If we can have the same mind. Now, I also read that most of us are willing to have one mind as long as that one mind is mine or yours. On this build site this past week, Habitat had two people serving as an interim construction manager, and one of them had 40 years. He's retired 40 years from construction, and I go to him I know a little bit about construction. He knew a lot more. And it didn't matter how I wanted to build. I was going to build it to his instruction because he's going to be there after I'm gone. And so it had nothing to do with my mind. I wanted to build as Ron wanted it built. And there was collaboration between him and another person and I to try and get those plans all together. One mind. It doesn't have to be mine. It doesn't have to be ours. We are seeking one mind, and that is the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we know what the mind of Christ is? We have to study the Scriptures. We have to know what's in the Bible to have one mind, to be in harmony with one another. The Word of God shows us the mind of Jesus. So to be of one mind, this speaks of the essential unity of God's people. We are one, but we're not all the same. While we all to have one mind, we can't expect everyone to be just like us. We have to have understanding. We have to have kindness. We have to have gentleness because God has built us with both unity and diversity amongst us as his people. Peter goes on, we are to have compassion. We are to be tender-hearted. We are to be courteous. Peter described the kind of love that should be among the people of God. Compassion, tender-hearted, and courteous. Polite. We had a great group of people from St. John's working on the house, but fortunately on Wednesday, we were joined by, I never got a final number of how many there were, 7 or 8 firemen from LaPorte City Fire Department. And they show up pretty much every Wednesday that there is a build. And believe it or not, the assistant chief, I looked this up on the website, he never told me this, assistant chief's name was Kelly. So Kelly was up in the trusses, because I told the Habitat, our group doesn't get up above ladder height anymore. We stay on the ground and help. But Kelly was up, so I could be yelling for Kelly, and Kelly Ducey over here would respond. And he said, no, it's that Kelly up in the sky. Kelly had a job where he was fastening wood to all of the trusses so that when the wind came, they stayed in place. And they had a different system that I had never seen before, and he was nailing short 2x4s between the trusses. And every time I handed one up, thank you, thank you. He was so polite. I couldn't tell him to stop because that would be unkind to him. He was being courteous and polite throughout. That will stick in my mind for a while. We can do that in various aspects of life. Compassion, being tenderhearted, courteous. It's kind of an understanding of what gentleness is about. Gentleness. And then Peter writes why it's so important to have compassion, to be tenderhearted and courteous, and to be gentle. We are not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, we are to offer blessing. Isn't that the case? You want to retaliate when you've been harmed? When someone says something bad to you, you want to say something bad? It's that retaliation, that sense of revenge. But that's not what Peter is about. That's not the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. We are to always be thinking of the other. And let those words, let those hurts, let those actions just roll by. You might have heard them, but you don't have to remember them. To let that go. For the goodness of that other person. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 12. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Back to that fruit of the Spirit, self-control. We are in self-control of how we offer kindness and gentleness to everyone, including those people we might think are our enemies. That's probably who we are supposed to offer our love and kindness and gentleness to the most. Praise be to God. Amen.
And at this time, I'll invite the ushers forward to collect our morning tithes and offerings. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you our tithes and our offering to be used for your glory. Bless these, and may they be used to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning will be number 465, In His Time. And after the spoken benediction, we'll sing verse 1 of number 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Amen.